Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Jesse Rogers has broken a lot of these stories involving Major League Baseball. And some of these COVID stories with testing positive, whether it's the Marlins or the Phillies. Now the Cardinals, and the Cardinals series against Detroit has been postponed. And the next series that is scheduled is against the Cubs. And it brings up an interesting point where the Cubs have done things really well so far. And will they have apprehension of going to St. Louis over the weekend, and could there be some disagreement between Major League Baseball and the Cubs on what happens there? Dalla brought that point up. A lot to catch up with. Jesse Rogers right now on the Corona Hotline. Jesse, how was your weekend?
It's good. It's good. Good Cub baseball, right? I mean, they played really well. They're playing great on the field. They're doing the right things off the field. So it's been a fun team to cover. I can't say enough about David Ross. I think he's been great for this team at this particular time. He's been great with the media. And you see the record, and again, on and off the field, COVID things are going well, and certainly the record's going well.
Jess, I mentioned to the guys earlier that, I mean, listen, Chatwood has always had good stuff, but harnessing it consistently has been a problem for him. I asked the guys earlier if they thought Chatwood pitching in an empty stadium may work as a positive for him because he seems to be a guy that can get into his own brain every now and again.
It's a great point. It's something I haven't asked him, but maybe I will bring it up. I mean, it is possible. It is possible. Javi Baez has been the one that's talked most about fans and no fans and how it does change the dynamic. And even though Javi is a fan favorite, if I'm reading between the lines, it sounds like Javi likes it better without the fans. And he's talking purely from a X's and O's standpoint. Like, you can communicate better, certainly on the field and those sort of things. So it's probably a good question for a pitcher now that he's gone a couple times through the rotation, Tommy. Now, we saw this coming last year, so it's not completely out of the blue. But the way he's manipulating the ball to the right and to the left within the strike zone, that's the key, within the strike zone, absolutely amazing. Of course, he's got that fastball zip as well. But you may not be wrong. It's a good question to ask pitchers now that they've had a couple turns through. So I'll put it down on the list.
Is Craig Kimbrell broken for good, or as we've learned from Yu Darvish and Chatwood, that a slow start in a Cubs uniform doesn't mean that he can't eventually contribute?
Yeah, I can never say never. I'm not a pitching expert, but I look at the body of evidence. What I look at the end of 18 with the Red Sox, lost the closer's job there. When he signed with the Cubs here in 19, gave up a career high home runs, off to a slow start in 20. I mean, what did I say to you guys before? He can't go through a scrimmage without giving up a home run. I believe, you know, if you ask me yes or no, is he broken? I believe the answer is yes. Now, the Cubs have done some great things with some pitchers, as you mentioned. Chatwood found his groove. Darvish, for the most part, is finding his groove. So I wouldn't put it past him. And they do think there's a mechanical change that could help get him back to that elite stuff. But I think we need to see it before we believe it. You know, they could be fooling themselves with that. I mean, Boston didn't find it. The Cubs didn't find it last year. And now we're into a third year of it. So that's what I look at, 18, 19, and 20.
Jesse, I could counter that with, isn't the Yu Darvish story the exact same? Yu Darvish with the Dodgers at the end was broken. You know, whether he was tipping pitches or it was because of the garbage can, he had a big mental issue at the end with the Dodgers against Houston and what he did in Game 7. And then he comes to the Cubs, and then he has that one really bad year. And then last year when he started, remember, he had a good second half. He had a slow April where he was walking guys. So, like, that was over a three-year period, too, parts of three seasons. But then in the second half, they found him, they fixed it, and now it's sort of, he's now turning into a different picture. But you feel that Kimbrel's different.
Yeah, I don't think the comparison fits. First of all, for a part of that time, Darvish was hurt. When he's been healthy, the stuff was always there. He just had to get it, you know, right between his ears, right? I don't think with Kimbrel it's a mental thing. I think it's his stuff. His rising fastball no longer has that kind of zip. It was hit last year. He still has a good curveball. He's not locating it right now. But if he only has the curveball, not the fastball, or vice versa, he's not going to be effective. I mean, Darvish has 10 pitches to fine-tune a few of them. Kimbrel has two. He's gotten away from his changeup. It's curveball, fastball, and neither one of them is really working for him. Again, curveball not in the zone, fastball getting hit. The two home runs the other day were on fastballs. All that trouble he had in Cincinnati was basically with the off-speed pitch not finding the zone. So I don't think the comparison works. I can see how you'd make it. But, and I'm not ruling it completely out. I mean, the Cubs are smart. They've got a pitching infrastructure that's done well. If they can find the mechanical flaw and fix it, then so be it. But until further notice, I just don't think it's there. And I really haven't changed my tune on that for over a year now. So I guess I'm not going to change it until I see something different.
2-1 lead, bottom of the ninth against a good team. Who's getting the ball?
Well, right now it's Jeffress. You've seen him, strand three runners in two different innings. Bases loaded, and he's done the job. I don't mean to, you know, rain on anyone's parade. I don't know that he's the answer, even over just 60 games. Jeremy Jeffress, I like his moxie. I like the mental makeup, but I'm not sure the stuff is there to be a closer. He was kind of picked up off the scrap heap. Not that guys off the scrap heap can't have success, but I think he's a short-term thing and certainly a guy that you could call on in a jam. But against a good team in the ninth inning, I don't know if he's the answer, but he would be the guy right now. Kimbrel coming out of some good bullpen sessions, according to David Ross, so maybe he'll work his way back there. It's hard for them to win long-term, it looks like, without one of those guys stepping up. So far, Jeffress has. Let's see how long it can last.
Chris Bryant is back in the lineup. He's playing left field today and leading off. Take us through the Chris Bryant situation from the last couple days.
Yeah, completely precautionary led by the league. The league and the doctors said, okay, you've got some stomach problems. This is what we have to do. We have to test you and take you out of the mix. He was sent home immediately the other day. Look, without the league stepping in, without COVID-19, he's back in the lineup yesterday. He would have missed one day, and he had that 10 minutes before the game. He couldn't, as he put it in the Zoom today, get it to stop. I think we all know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't mean to laugh in the Zoom, you know, with him, you know, but I did. So he would have been back in the lineup yesterday. So that's it. The process is test and send him out because we see what happens. This thing is just so contagious. It's just crazy how it can spread. And maybe even if you're doing a lot of the things right, maybe not all of them, but if you're doing most of them right, you still could get in trouble. And maybe even if you do all of them right, maybe a mask on a plane with a super spreader is still going to get you. And I think we saw that with the Marlins and maybe even with the Cardinals. So they did the right thing. And look, he wanted to play yesterday. It was a one-day thing. We've all had it. But they wouldn't let him back in the lineup.
Jess, do you anticipate that Major League Baseball at some point will, in fact, issue a statement that says to be eligible for the postseason, you have to have played an X number of games? We know that there's a good chance that not every team's going to play 60. And if the answer to that question is yes, where would you set that number, in your opinion?
Well, I'd probably set it at 50. And I don't have any inside info on that, but I don't think they can do that. I mean, I know it's compromising the integrity of the season, but it's already been compromised. And I just think you really penalize a team that may not have had anything wrong, you know, done anything wrong. So I hope they don't do that, to be honest. But if I were to set it, I think you got to play. I think 50 makes sense to me. That is a number someone else has said within the game. But I really don't have inside information if they're going to do that or not. I don't think they should. These teams are fighting through something here. I mean, the Brewers did nothing wrong. They missed a whole series. And what can you do? So I think whatever the amount is, the amount is. I do think, and I asked Ross about this, I mean, the disadvantage you are in baseball specifically, not playing a week, which the Cardinals will be, and I know no Cub fans are crying for them. Cardinals will not have played for a week when they host the Cubs on Friday, if they host the Cubs. I mean, that's just awful. The Brewers even just playing the White Sox tonight, missing a whole series. Okay, not so bad. But you know how pitching arms are. There's a routine to that. Timing at the plate. A day or two is one thing. A whole week. The Phillies are doing a week. The Marlins are doing a week. Again, the Cardinals. It's just the whole thing's a mess, Tommy. And I don't think you need to set more, standards for how you make the playoffs. The winning percentages should tell the story, in my opinion, and we'll see if that's the case.
How bad is it right now between the players and Rob Manfred?
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, some players, quietly sort of agree with him. But the way he says it, it's just yes. The way he says it. But the majority don't like him, even if they do agree with him. So, John Lester again came out. It's just the way he says things. I'm not a quitter. What are you inferring that the rest of the guys are? It's just the rhetoric, in my words.
And what is he risking, too, Jesse? I mean, what do you mean he's, he's not putting his body on the line like the players are every day.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think he needed to say something, but it's the way you say it. Like, look, guys, I know you're doing the best you can, not to them, but to the teams. I know you guys are doing the best you can. We need to lock it down even further. This virus is more contagious than we've ever thought. The incubation period, I think, is causing havoc. That's something no one's really talking about. Look at the Marlins. They're a great test case for this whole thing. They had positive tests every single day for a week. And remember, every day that a guy, within that period, there were guys testing negative and then positive, negative and then positive. So that incubation period is really wreaking havoc. I think baseball is learning everything, learning new things every day about the spread of this thing. I think they've handled the Cardinals a little bit better than they did the Marlins, yet they're still going to miss a week. So I just think it's the way Manfred said it instead of his words. He needs to continue to remind them to be diligent, but it's how you say it that makes the difference.
Do you believe the Cubs will balk at going to St. Louis this weekend?
No, I don't. I think they're handling it the right way with the Cardinals. And again, this is why the healthy Cardinals are still in Milwaukee. The ones that are infected are already back in St. Louis isolated because they want to make sure that they are healthy enough to travel back as a group and work out on Wednesday and Thursday and host the Cubs. And just like the Marlins, they're going to go almost a week there and see, if you go a day or two without a positive test, you feel like you're in the clear. So let's say they get to Wednesday or Thursday and there's been no more positive tests. I think you're okay for the Cubs to play down there on Friday. Again, the incubation period throws a wrench into this thing. But if you get two or three straight days, and I was listening to the president of the Cardinals talk about this, two straight days or two straight tests that are negative, you feel a lot better about things. You're never going to feel perfect, not with that incubation period, 3 to 14 days. But I think as you see with the Marlins, it kind of has petered out all the positive tests. They're hoping the same thing with the Cardinals, even as soon as today or tomorrow.
Nothing worse than a couple dirty Cardinals.
Stay away
from them.
Yeah, I'm thinking actually it's a Sunday night game, Cubs-Cardinals. They might be sending me down there, so it's going to be interesting covering thing as the Cardinals start back up. And, I have mixed feelings about going, but, it's one drive right to the hotel, which is near the ballpark. You walk to the park, I feel safe enough to do it, but I understand the Cubs' trepidation. There's no doubt about it. You're going to face a team that had an outbreak, and you're the first team to face them since it happened. So it's all, guys are nervous and stuff, but I think they'll be cleared to go.
How did you like extra innings, the new rule, seeing it finally, like with the local team?
I liked it more than I thought I did because it's something we've never seen before and probably something we'll never see again. And I think the strategy is interesting. Guys squeezing their bats, it felt like a little bit. I tweeted out, it looks like nobody wants to score with these new rules because the 10th inning was a disaster for both teams. I kind of liked it, but again, I want all these things for 1 year. I'm still a traditionalist. I really want the pitcher back in the NL next year.
No,
I just like
really?
The strategy. I know I'm in the minority. I know I'm old school and an old man, but I like the strategy of the game. And you saw strategy in that 10th inning for both teams. Visiting team, home team, it's going to be different. So I liked it, but I don't think I'll like it if they carried it over.
If you're going to return to normal on one issue, I would choose getting rid of this guy on second base before I would choose getting pitchers back in the batter's box, Jess.
Yeah,
you just aged 20 years in this conversation. You just went old guy on us right there.
I know. I would probably choose going back to the extra inning rule above the no DH. Maybe I'll get used to DH. It's been a week or two. I'll get used to it. I like strategy. I like thinking, you know, thinking along with the manager. I think that's the fun of being a National League fan all these
years. How about the beer softball 7-inning doubleheaders?
I'm okay with it this year, obviously. I'm okay with it. Look how many teams are gonna have to go through it. I mean, they're going to try to make up these games, the Cardinals. They're going to try to make the games up with the Marlins, the Phillies. They'll do as many as they can, and I'm okay with the 7 innings. It's fine. It's weird. It's strange. It's different. But, again, I think the whole season's weird, strange, different. So you just kind of got to roll with the punches.
Jesse, great stuff.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, talk to you later.
All right, if you want to weigh in on the extra inning rule, I liked it too. Again, it's new, and yes, it's tricked up, but so are some other sports in extra time in the regular season. I like the extra strategy that the inning starts off with, 312-332-3776. I have a question for you guys, too, that I wanted to bring up Friday. I was out Friday, and I don't know if you guys talked about it or not, about this two-day delay on testing with Major League Baseball. But we want to hear from you. I also got some White Sox stuff for later this hour. Are they being disrespected in the latest power rankings? A lot to go. We want to hear from you, 312-332-3776.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Just got the tweet of the day, Waddle, on extra innings. Louis a little league ump. Louis says, many little leagues have gone to the runner on second to start extra innings. It creates way more exciting strikeout calls for a show-stopping little league ump like me with runners in scoring position and extras.
It does feel like a little league rule.
Yeah, I mean, but what would you call college football? How is college football's overtime?
I don't like it.
The worst.
Or excitement.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Or you could go to, like, 9 overtimes. Like, who did? It was Texas A&M and
we need
LSU.
To get this.
Did that mic?
What's wrong?
You see, Sylvie, you're not here, so you don't see the
microphone.
I'm on Twitch.
You should see what Dave had to do to try to keep this mic.
It is literally held together with duct tape.
It's literally held together with duct tape. It's not duct tape would actually keep it in place. This is like packaging tape.
Yeah.
It's difficult, you know.
I think what I enjoyed about the extra inning rule is that it makes it more exciting. Like anything can happen. Not anything can happen. Really, only two things can happen. Again, a team can either go on to extra innings or not.
We had a balk. Did we have a balk?
Yeah, that was a bad call, too.
Dumbest rule ever.
They were ranting about that, too. About that.
Yeah, JD was ranting about it. He was saying, like, it should be the spirit. Of the intention.
Like, he didn't try to fool each other, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Roderick Janes in the Twitch chat. And by the way, new way to watch the show and
everybody behaving in there?
So far today.
Okay. Yeah. He says, bad example, Sylvie, on college. I think it's a good example because you automatically get in scoring position in college football. You get the ball where? On the 25?
You're right. Didn't have to earn anything. You just, here you
right.
go.
Here you go. You're in scoring position. A field goal attempt is possible if you don't pick up a first down. You're 25 yards away from scoring 6. Same thing in baseball. You get scoring position to start the inning.
And it's a juice box.
And then same thing with shootout in hockey. I like it.
And
it's
a fruit
not
roll
hockey.
Up. And a fruit roll-up.
Oh, you get a fruit roll-up and a little
juice
dangle
box.
By a caner.
Yeah. Do you say a dangle? What'd you say?
A dangle.
Oh, a dangle.
He's,
okay.
Yeah, he's going to dangle the puck,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Like, how great is it, Patrick Kane, in a shootout? It's not hockey, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, you're anti-everything, Meller.
I'm not. I don't like these extra...
I will say this. I like the, you know, I mean, I like the overtime period when you have, you know,
4-on-4.
4-on-4 to me is I enjoy that more than I anticipated.
Let's just take a player away just because.
Yeah.
Because it's more open to scoring.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we play with, you know, you get
8 fielders?
Well, you've already got 8. You get 7.
Well, that was our caller. Our caller said
take away a
position per.
No, that's I don't like that.
And you have 9 guys on the field.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but your pitcher isn't considering. I'm saying
he's
like
a fielder.
Okay, Jeff. Technically, you're right, contact. But he throws the ball. So there are other guys
but
out there.
You,
there are.
Yes,
there
but
are,
you would reduce from 9 to 8, and you choose who comes off
fielders.
Field.
I thought we were talking about fielders. So I mean, instead of having 8 guys out there surrounding the pitcher, I would suggest that
and
you would
and
have
the manager gets to choose which one. You could play all sorts of weird defenses using that, and then if it goes into the 11th inning, now all of a sudden you have 7 guys behind the pitcher.
How about just don't suck for 5 innings?
You could be great for 9 innings and end yourself in extra innings of Dallas.
Okay,
get a run across.
How about that? Get a run across.
I'm with you there.
It could be 10-10.
Let's just call it a tie and go home.
I would choose a tie over the other stuff.
Yes.
It's like, why are we doing this? Oh, we don't want to tax our bullpen. Well, you know, would be better. Be better in other areas. Oh, we can't tax our bullpen. Well, so what we're going to do, because our bullpen, we don't want to hurt our bullpen here, is we're just going to make up a silly rule.
Mike on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, before I get to the new rules, so the Cardinals, if they test tomorrow and it's negative, that's 3 days. But we don't know how many players might not play if they play the Cubs on Friday. Is that the deal, or I'm confused?
I think everything is up for grabs right now. We're just learning this stuff on the number. What were there, 7 total players that came out today?
But then I'm reading that some are asymptomatic or whatever, that 5 of them were. How does that factor in? You know,
what if 3 of them go back to the casino?
I mean,
then what?
Here's the thing.
So
at least MLB, it seems like they're trying to weed out the stupidity. I read today now they are supposed to go straight to the hotels now after games. Is that from what I'm reading now?
Yes, that it was recommended before, and now they're saying it is now. It's a rule.
Okay, that should have been a rule in the beginning. And also they have, for lack of a better term, a hall monitor watching them as well, which they didn't have before.
Yeah, I get. Look,
this is the example in life that even as adults, you shouldn't have to say certain things, but sometimes you do. Like, you shouldn't have to tell Major League Baseball players not to go to the casino and not go somewhere otherwise, but I guess you do. You know what I mean? So don't take anything for granted.
What if they want to go to the casino, but it's only to register to gamble in Illinois?
But we're seeing this everywhere. Look how many people you see walk around without a mask.
Oh, of course. It's a societal issue, yes.
You just want to just kill these idiots.
Right. I'm not going that far. I don't feel the need to murder anybody, Mike.
Yeah, you don't have to say because
the virus is doing a good enough job of that anyway. I mean, you don't need to murder.
One thing, I thought the man starting on second was exciting yesterday. I was into it. In fact, that was a great game yesterday. I like low scoring games, and then just adding the throw out at the plate and everything.
Yeah. And then Javi threw out the runner at third too in the next game.
Yeah, and I think that, but what Jesse isn't mentioning, everything that they're doing from starting the guy at second, DH, these things have been talked about for years that are all eventually going to happen, or they are not going to get the younger people to go to the ballpark in the next 10, 15 years. That's why they've been experimenting. That's why they've been talking about these things for years, and now they're experimenting with them. They're not going to have any choice, and they work.
Mike, thank you.
Sorry, Jesse, but they work.
Yeah, Mike, thanks. I like Jesse.
Had a little Richard Lewis in him, didn't he?
A little bit, yeah. I get that. The Jesse take on the DH, like it used to be a thing, remember, Waddle, when you'd be down the dial with Cap in 1998, you could open up the phone lines, designated hitter in the National League or no, and you could have
four hours.
Yeah, 4 hours on it. I don't even think anyone is against it anymore. Like, very few. I think we're all just rather see a professional hitter added to the order, less pitching changes. Who cares about double switching? Let it just be. Let 9 professional hitters hit. Let the pitcher pitch.
I'm trying to be more adult here, personally. And I'm gonna try not to bitch as much this year, all things considered, because of all of the stuff that everyone has to go through. So I'm just trying to tolerate all of the change. And that's not easy for an old guy to do. So I'm tolerating 2020 baseball changes. But I have to tell you, going forward, I'm good with the DH. I'm not good with the seven inning beer league
doubleheader.
Game, seven innings.
And I'm not a huge fan of what they're doing in extra innings either. But you know what? Because we're going through what we're going through, I'm going to tolerate it all.
Okay, 312-332-3776. Remind me to tell you guys a story, too. He brought up about what he wanted to do with people not wearing a mask. I don't know if you guys saw a video from over the weekend, but there was some scary stuff in California. I want to share that with you. And I also want to tell you, coming up next, what Abdallah and Waddle just did as two consenting adults.
Yes, we did. Plus, I've got something I want to read you from Craig Council as well.
Okay, all that next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah.
312-332-3776. If you want to react to some of the new rules, a runner on second, nobody out in the 10th. We saw that in action. I still get bothered, guys, by, and call me a prude, whatever. Here's the way they test. They test 2 days. You get the results 2 days in the rear, correct? Like, if you take a test on Sunday, you
test two days in the rear. Can I sign up for the other test?
Are we doing phrasing?
Yeah. That's how they're doing it? Maybe that's why they're not.
I thought you went through the nose.
If they test you on a Sunday, you find out if you were positive or negative on a Tuesday.
What,
right?
If I didn't get the test in the rear?
Then they go to the nose, and they never go from the rear to the nose.
I found it really odd that when I got mine,
got a whole lot of empty holes.
They swabbed my right nostril, and then they took the same one and swabbed it into my left nostril. And I get it. They're both my nostrils, so it's not like you're contaminating. I just found it odd that you needed to go through both nostrils. But if then you took it to around the back and then went there.
You should gag.
That's if you went in the other order.
They didn't go in your mouth, did they?
No.
They didn't, yeah, well, that would have been gross. They would have gone from your nose to your mouth.
I just don't like this conversation across the board right now.
It's normal for you to tear up at this point.
So if they test on a Sunday, you don't find out if you're negative until Tuesday. So they're testing every 2 days.
And then I went to the casino on Monday. How do I know that I'm not negative or positive?
That's my point. So you test on a Sunday. And in between Sunday and Tuesday, you could go out to dinner and sit on a patio. You could go to a Starbucks. You could go to the casino. You could, like, your kid could come home, be asymptomatic. You could get it on a Tuesday. You find out you're clear, but it's really that you were clear on Sunday. So, yeah, they're still high-fiving. If you really don't want anything transmitted, like, the Cubs did this cute celebration when they walked off the Pirates yesterday. Did you see it? And they all were in a circle, yeah. And they were ghost high-fiving. You know, they were distancing their high-fives. Yet, 10 seconds later, they all got in the line, and they went through the handshake line.
That was just for show. That was for the television cameras, the first one, the fake one. Hey, we're going to – No, we're not. And then they thought the television camera's off, and then it was just like – it's a high-five party.
I'm still not in the comfortable setting of handshaking any of you guys. I won't go up to any of you guys and shake your hand right now.
Well, you get the hell out.
Some say they won't even shake hands ever. I think that's a little excessive. I think once we get a vaccine, we'll all go back to hugging and handshaking.
We're just fortunate Mellor's talking to us right now.
Yes. But I'm saying, like, isn't that stuff they could avoid from spreading?
Of course it is.
Like, why are you?
That's why when the commissioner says don't be, like, he's an idiot. But what the players are doing also, like, I feel like everyone just wants to pound on the commissioner because of his poor choice of words. But the focal point and the the central issue here is that the guys are not doing what they all decided was best for them. I mean, they're breaking their own protocol consistently.
Right. I thought that when you would be in the dugout, you'd wear a mask. I thought that there would be no handshaking and high-fiving. What's so hard about avoiding a high-five?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is I get everything you're saying, and I'm with you. But, you're watching, and you're right because they're not in a bubble, so they have to handle things differently. But, like, the contact that exists is going to exist in sports. I guess so. Like, I'm more concerned about them doing stupid things away from the baseball diamond than on the diamond.
But they could do that, like, if they were testing in real time, say today's a Monday, say they test before the game, you find out before the game that everyone is negative. You know in real time that in that ballpark right now, all your teammates are negative. So if we high five, we high five, we all should be cool. But if you test on a Sunday and you don't find out till Tuesday, and there's 48 hours in between that these guys could go to a casino, could be going to somewhere that they shouldn't be, or just pick it up, even
white
if they're
trash,
not guilty.
Yeah,
they go there. They go to East Peoria.
But, Sylvie, you can't have it both ways, because then you have people complaining, and it's a justified complaint that they're taking away from the testing facilities of the local community and taking away tests from the local community. And there's that faction of people who are like, well, there are people that need tests, they can't get tests. There are people that need instant results, they can't get instant results. And we're using them for these guys that are playing a sport that, let's be honest, isn't essential to the world.
It's a good point.
And so this is the protocol that the players agreed upon. This is the protocol that society agreed upon. And if you don't get a test result in a timely fashion, that's tough, because that's what everybody agreed upon.
So if you don't get the result in a timely fashion, which you bring up a good point, then again, we don't go to work and shake hands these days. So why are players shaking hands?
And you can't have the people that call in, because I mentioned this a month ago when they started these protocols, and people calling in is like, well, I got a test and I got a result in 15 minutes. Cool. That's you. That's not you. You probably had an ACL tear and you were back playing softball 2 months later also. You know, I get it. You're not an athlete and you're not
playing
Major League Baseball.
Jay Cutler walking down the stairs at Mastros. I had that same injury, and if Jay really would have had that injury, listen, I played 16-inch softball. That took me 7 weeks to walk downstairs.
I walked out of that hospital. Don't get me wrong. I mean, listen, Jay Cutler can do whatever he wants to do. Derrick Rose can take a year off, but I walked out of that hospital, played pickup the next day.
I think you made a great point, though, Adam. This is the protocol they've agreed to. They're doing the best they can. It's an imperfect system. Will things happen that you're going to have to react to? Absolutely. And that's the gist of it. Be as careful as you can. Follow the protocol. If things adjust or change, you got to adjust to them. But it's going to be an imperfect system. Like, as I said earlier, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. Someone else on this show is usually in charge of that.
Who?
Sylvia. But what I'm saying to you is that, we're going to be dealing with some of this in some way, shape, or form in 2021. I hate to tell everybody that.
Well, how about when Tirico, I stopped just in the moment when Tirico said, we're not going to get back to normal for years.
I heard you whimper at one point.
Yeah, I did whimper with that. Like, really, it's going to be years till we're back to normal
crowds?
Dude,
I felt the same thing the other day. I was watching.
If I would have said that, I would have been shamed.
It's true.
Tirico says
no. Yeah. You're right. You're
not the commissioner of sports. You're commissioner of the Fantasy Baseball League.
Yes,
you need
true.
To spend some more time on your baseball team. I'm just saying.
Chris Bryant needs to play more for
that's
him.
Good point.
I know that's what he would say.
I mean, I was feeling the same way. I was watching games this week. I was like, this is great. They're back. They're back. And then part of me was like, yeah, but there's nobody in the stands. And I'm not a big going to games guy, but I know there are other people. Don't you miss, Jeff, not going to a Bears game knowing you can't go?
Do I miss it? I mean,
if you're a season ticket holder.
I don't know. Can you wrap your head around, though? I miss going. I miss life in January and February. That's what I miss. You know, once we hit March, things got all
weird. I'm just glad that things are going
That's my
point.
As well
as they can be.
That's why I haven't cried over empty crowds, because I'm getting my sports.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we all are making sacrifices in these days, and the sacrifice here is crowds going to games.
You didn't like virtual fans in the NBA yesterday? You didn't like Paul Pierce?
So where are they? Yeah, well, you guys got to explain this to me. Where are they filming these people that they're projecting on the screen?
I think you can use your... Yeah, it's like a Zoom thing that you can log into. And you film, and like Paul Pierce was
sleeping, right?
No, he would, because the Celtics were, they were getting their ass kicked. And so he was like falling over and he was falling asleep. And then they came back and he woke up.
Was he in a wheelchair? Being wheeled out again?
Just to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And our NBA coverage is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it to give it everything, and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
When we get back to, I want to read you what
the Craig Council thing.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I think it's cool every now and again to get the perspective of people that are actually living in this.
Okay, we'll crosstalk with Hoodie, and I want to see if you and Hoodie, maybe Hoodie already looked at it. Guess where the Cubs and the White Sox are in ESPN's power rankings, baseball power rankings.
I have not
rankings.
Looked.
Okay, good. All that coming up next.
Tonight's baseball show brought to you by Bobby G's. Stop in and grab a couple Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. Bobby G's on Archer is a proud official White Sox bar and is a fantastic place to watch a Sox game.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You just mentioned Waddle the White Sox, so we've got White Sox baseball on our air tonight. Our old buddy Andy Mazur going to be broadcasting the White Sox. They've got a conflict down the dial because of the Hawks. So we'll have,
feel great for Andy that he's gotten this opportunity and done very well with it.
He's one hell of a guy and a great play-by-play guy.
Amen.
So Andy Mazur will be on the air today. Doing White Sox baseball. They've won four in a row, by the way. So let's bring in Hoodie, too, and the baseball show is going to be coming up in just a little bit shorter than normal because of White Sox pregame coming up. Hoodie, how you feeling today?
Oh,
wow. Nice.
Woo! Four in a row. We're back. Sox are back in the mix.
Sox
told you,
back.
Sylvie. I told you this last week. I told you, just give them a little time. The kids will come around. Here we go, 5-4.
Where do you guys believe the White Sox are on ESPN's power rankings?
You got to ask Waddle because, you know, I saw this earlier preparing for the show.
I'm going to say, because currently they would qualify for the postseason, correct? Am I right about that?
Are they second in the division?
I thought they were, maybe.
Okay.
Not,
you got to be first
not,
or second.
I know. And then there is a, isn't there a first and second? And then, like, there's a couple of wild cards.
A half game up on the Indians.
See? Mm-hmm. No, like, there's 20 teams that get it. Or 24 or 28. 16,
no, 28, it's the first 16, and second place.
Then everyone else gets a sandwich and a juice box.
Don't screw around.
Right? I'm going to say that they are. I'm going to say 14th.
They are. That's a very good guess.
Thank you.
They should be 14th, but they're 15th right now. Mm-hmm. Would you guys believe that the New York Mets, with all their dysfunction and at 3-7, are 14th ahead of the White Sox?
Wow.
Open phone lines for you. Yeah. Your thoughts. Your reaction. Yeah. How are the Metropolitans ahead of the White Sox? Your thoughts. 3-1-2. No, you know, this is why we don't do the Major League Baseball poll thing on Mondays.
Right.
We do this for the NFL and college football for sure, but this is why we don't do that. No, you know, it's just, I'm just happy that you not only have young players, but young players that look unafraid. And Madrigal looked frustrated at the beginning, but everything looks like a beach ball to him and to Robert. And so that's just great. That's a great sign early on for the Sox.
And listen, you can hit the baseball as hard and as often as you want, but if you don't get better, consistent starting pitching, you're still going to be in a bind. So to me, as well as they have done at the plates, getting better pitching –
from Rodon tonight, it's a good step.
That is the ultimate issue going forward with this team.
Yeah, I mean, so that it turned around when you saw Cease giving you a quality outing. Now, Gio Gonzalez, on the other hand, that's that's a long reliever.
Yeah, he's going to go three or four. That's what you get from Gio Gonzalez.
That's what he is. So he's a long reliever. He's not a starter. I guess fifth on this rotation on this team. But ultimately, even on a good team, he'd just be your long man coming out of the bullpen. And just as I've been asking for years, you know, where's my version of John Lester as a Sox fan? Keuchel can be that guy. Sure. Keuchel looked again, another quality outing this weekend. So pretty happy about that, too.
Where are the Cubs, Waddle? Where do you think the Cubs are in the power rank?
I'm going to say the Cubs are at 11.
You're good again. You were just one off. The Cubs are number 10.
Always miss it by one.
They are up three spots from 13 to 10. The nine teams ahead of them, the Nationals, the Athletics, the Indians, the Braves, the Rays, the Astros, the Twins, the Yankees, and the Dodgers.
I'd have the Cubs a little higher than that, actually, because just from the starting pitching. Like, raise your hand if you said Chatwood was going to be aces so far this year, out of nowhere. I mean, that's the thing that's one of the more surprising things to me, is Chatwood coming through. And Lester, for those that thought that this is the end for John Lester, that he's in the twilight of his career, he stuck it up the backsides of the Pirates over the weekend.
Yeah, he did. And I thought it was going to be a rough start for sure. I know, Waddle, you wanted to pay off what Craig Counsell had to say in Milwaukee, right? It's Sox and Brewers?
Yes. So Craig Counsell was talking to a reporter about, you know, the overall landscape that everybody's facing now. And this was his quote. "Look, to this point, unfortunately, we've handled this the same way our country has handled this. We put together these guidelines that were well-intentioned and protocols, and then we handed them off to 30 individual operators, i.e. states, and asked them to do their best. And adherence to a set of protocols and suggestions and trying to get it right has just not gone well. It just hasn't gone well. And it's because this virus is an incredible, difficult opponent. It puts us behind the eight ball, you know. I desperately want to play and finish the season. It's so important for so many people in so many places, but it's not going well right now. I mean, it's not." That's the perspective of the Brewers manager, Craig Counsell.
Very interesting, yeah.
Well, it was nice doing the baseball show. You know, I'm glad Mike Thomas gave us an opportunity. And this will be the end now for...
Not true. Move the drill.
As we close the doors here at the baseball show.
We just moved the drill. No. Those that can play, play.
The hockey show's back, too.
Well, they got a bubble. It'll last, what, until Christmas? I mean, you could keep that thing going all year if you want to. At least they got a bubble.
The off season.
Yeah, just keep it rolling. I mean, but with baseball... You know, what is happening with baseball is a microcosm of society. You know, there you are asking baseball players to just go home, be safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and everyone's not going to buy into that. It's just the way it is. Like, there's no bubble plan for baseball, guys. And so you're asking these guys, hey, be careful, because if you have COVID-19, you could spread it to another teammate. We don't want that. We want to stay together. Seems like the Cubs are doing just fine. They're the only team without a positive test. Seems like they go home at night. And, and the other teams, they couldn't care less about that.
Yeah. Discipline.
That's
very
sure.
disciplined approach.
All right, Hoodie, I know you got a shortened show. What's coming up today?
Well, we're going to talk about the Cubs and Sox from over the weekend and also hear from Rick Renneria, and we're going to hand it off to Mark Schanowski at 6:35 with the pregame. Right.
That's
here on
crew.
The home of the White Sox for a day, ESPN 1000.
That's awesome. Thanks to Mike Tirico and Jesse Rogers for joining us. Jonathan Hood, just two short minutes away on the baseball show. Thank you to Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a safe and healthy Monday night.